children go back to school, let us remember that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Also, God calls every parent and grandparent to take an active role in training their children and grandchildren, not just in reading, writing, and arithmetic, but also in the fear of the Lord. This year, help your kids with their studies and encourage them to live boldly for God.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Last week we started talking about what our response as Christians should be when someone falls. And in particular, we actually talked about the Fort Pierce City Council member that was recently arrested for allegedly sending pictures. And I'm sure that the investigators had evidence. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't have arrested him. But we know that he is accused of this, but it's of sending pictures of himself without clothes on to a 12-year-old girl and actually interacting with her, and probably with the intent of maybe even carrying out some physical activity. We talked about this, and we started talking about this, and I'm just going to review a little bit. If you missed any of that, you can go to our church YouTube channel, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center, or our church website, covenanttabernacle.com. You can also go to our church Facebook page, and you can actually watch last week's sermon. But I'm just going to quickly review what we talked about last week. We're going to cover some new topics, new ground today, and we'll probably even expand a little bit more next week, Lord willing. But what we talked about last week is, first of all, the biblical principle, your sins will find you out. It's amazing there are so many people that commit certain actions, and they commit these in secret, and they think that, hey, this, no one will ever find out about this. No one will ever know. Well, that's just not the case. Your sins will find you out. There are certainly some people that go all the way to the grave without anyone knowing what they have done. But God knows what they've done. They know what they've done. If they did something with someone else, that person knows what they did as well. That's always going to be over you, and it's going to be something that you have to think about. And really, you're going to, every single one of us is going to stand before God, and we're going to give an account for our lives. Our secrets are going to be exposed. Any sin that is not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ is a sin that will send us to hell. And this is something that we need to realize. Your sins will find you out. Very often, though, your sins find you out here on this earth. Very often, the person that's embezzling, very often the person that's committing adultery or fornicating, that sin is found out. We also looked at justice. God has appointed civil magistrates. The primary purpose, really, you see two main purposes for the government, God creating civil government. Number one is criminal prosecution, and number two is the defense of the people through having armed forces, if necessary, to defend that nation or that city or that county or that state. Even in the New Testament, God says that he has appointed these civil magistrates with the power to punish the wicked and reward the righteous. That's what they're there for. They're not there. And when you see Christians going to jail for doing good things, I've been to jail for praying on the sidewalk. I've been to jail for peacefully attempting to protect preborn children from abortion. When you see Christians going to jail for something that's good, when you see pastors being locked up because they actually preached according to the word of God, which has happened some places in the world, and it's even happened in the United States of America. And when you see things like this, those civil magistrates are violating their commission and their ordinance from God. God has given them and raised them up for the purpose of rewarding the righteous and punishing the wicked, and has even given them the power in certain cases to execute the death penalty. And the death penalty is a biblical principle that's supported in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's something that is there for primarily for a deterrent, to deter people and to protect the innocent. We also saw that God wants to establish accountability. And really, when you start talking about accountability, people run, people hide, people don't want accountability. But God wants us to be accountable to one another. And in Matthew chapter 18, God says, when your brother has sinned against you, go to him and confront him. People don't like to confront, and people don't like to be confronted. And so a lot of times what people will do is, instead of confronting the person that has sinned, they go to everyone else and talk about that person. Whereas God says, go to that person. Certainly there are certain circumstances where you also need to go to the authorities. The principle here is accountability. It's confronting the issue. It's also restoration of the person that has sinned. You see, in the New Testament, we talked about this, and we actually looked at Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. If any man is overtaken in a trespass, in any trespass, you are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So what we see with this is that we are to work toward, as Christians, we are to work toward restoring someone who has sinned. If someone is a Christian and they have sinned, and the Commissioner James Taylor, former Commissioner James Taylor in Fort Pierce, does profess to be a Christian, we don't know his heart and we can't judge him, but if he is a Christian, he needs to repent of his sins and be restored. Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't face consequences for his actions. We talked a little bit last week about Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy was a man who raped multiple women. He was a serial rapist and a serial murderer. He actually did accept Jesus Christ as his Savior. He was executed for his crimes, and rightly executed for his crimes. And he even said that he should be put to death for his crimes. He didn't object to that. The Apostle Paul, at one point in the New Testament, said that he didn't object. If he had done anything worthy of death, that he didn't object to being put to death. And he actually was executed, not for anything that he did that was wrong, but for standing for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But God wants us to work to restore those who have fallen. And one thing that we really need to really point out here is that in their culture, when this was written, they had pagan sacrifices that were happening. There were pagan temples, and in these pagan temples, there were slaves that were there for the sexual pleasure of those who would come and sacrifice at the temple. And you had actually prostitution. And these people, some women, some men, were forced to be prostitutes and were forced to commit various acts with those who came to the temple. And really, you also had human sacrifice. So people could actually bring their own children to be killed and to be sacrificed. And probably the children that were conceived in this prostitution were also sacrificed. So the people that came to Christ in the New Testament, many of those had been involved in human sacrifice. Many of those had been involved in this prostitution. And so they didn't have a judicial system where this was illegal. It was legal back then to own slaves. It was legal to force someone to commit a certain act. It was legal to take a human being and sacrifice that human being. And this is wrong. We know it is wrong. But there's, on the one side, you have the judicial side. And on the other side, you also have God's grace and God's mercy. But we also talked about how the latter part of this verse that says, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. We always need, when we see someone sin, we always need to be humble and to come before God and to ask God and really to make sure that we are doing what is right, that we are following the way God wants us to follow, so that we don't also fall into that same sin. And you may say, well, I'm not going to be texting 12-year-old girls pictures of myself without clothes on. Well, hopefully you won't be. But how else might you sin? You know, some people, we talked last week, some men are tempted by men. Some men are tempted by women that are adults. Some men are tempted by boys. Some men are tempted by girls. Some women are tempted by men. Some women are that they're not married to. Some women are tempted by boys. Some are tempted by women. Some are tempted by girls. And so whatever way you are tempted, some just are tempted in their mind and they sin in their mind. God cares about that as well. Hopefully we'll be able to cover that today. But really, what you need to do here is consider yourself lest you also be tempted. And if you say, I would never sin in that way, well, that's a dangerous place to be, because the Bible says that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's in Proverbs 16, verse 18. The previous passage that I referenced was from Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. So this is something that we need to realize. We need to humble ourselves, and we need to also consider ourselves and make sure that we are doing what is right so that we don't sin. James in James chapter 1 talks about how we are tempted, and we're not to say that we're tempted by God, but we're tempted when we're drawn astray by our own evil desires. And then when that desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. The Bible talks about a sin nature. No one has to be taught how to sin. No one has to be taught to do something bad. No one has to be taught to do something wrong. We all really grow to that naturally. When we repent of our sins and we come to Christ, there's a process called sanctification. And there are some people in some circles that believe that sanctification is a one-time process. There are some churches, the church that I grew up in, when we would go to church, they would periodically have testimony sessions. And people, there was always some people that would stand up and say, I've been saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost for 40 years or for 20 years or for however long it was. And really, sanctification is a process. There are certainly people that are set free from certain sins when they come to Christ, but they're not set free from all sins. And none of us are perfect when we come to Christ. Every one of us needs to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face. We all need to turn from our wicked ways. We need to even ask God to search us and examine us, as the Bible says in Psalms, to search us and examine us, to try us, to see if there is any wicked way in us, to turn us from our sin. And when we have a certain thought, it might be the devil that's tempting us. It might be our own evil desires that are tempting us. We have a choice to make. That choice is, am I going to meditate upon the sin, or am I going to meditate upon the Word of God? If we meditate upon the sin, then we are actually committing that sin, and we are sinning in our hearts, and God cares about that. He cares about the sin of our heart that happens in our heart, not just what we do outwardly. But if we think about that long enough, that actually can drive us to sin outwardly. Ted Bundy talked about how he was addicted to pornography and the role that that played. And certainly not everyone, thankfully, that's addicted to pornography goes and commits rape and murder. Thankfully, that doesn't happen all the time. But a certain portion of the people that are addicted to pornography will go out and do that. God wants us to be pure. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to bring those sins to him. He wants us to meditate on his word. This is something we saw last week from Psalm 119. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. There's many passages in the Bible that talk about meditating upon the word of God. Jesus told the disciples in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, those who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you will be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So do you want to be free from sin? Do you want to be free from that temptation? Do you want to be free from from, and it doesn't mean, by the way, you're never going to be tempted, but do you want to be free from the lust? Lust is sin. Do you want to be free from an addiction to pornography? That is sin. Do you want to be free and set free from whatever sin it is that is troubling you? Do you want to be set free? Well, how do you do that? You abide in the Word of God. Live in the Word of God, just like you live in your house. You need to be reading God's Word, listening to it. You need to be memorizing it. You need to be meditating upon it. When you're tempted, just like Jesus did when he was tempted, you need to meditate upon the Word of God, and that will give you the power and the strength to be set free from your sin. All of these topics, by the way, we're covering many topics here. We're just trying to do just a summary introduction to these topics, even though we've talked about many of these in the past. But all of these topics, each of these topics could be, we could expound on these at length. But we're just giving you a brief overview of really how we should act and how we can keep ourselves from this type of sin. The Bible talks in Proverbs about discretion preserving you. We read last week a little bit from Proverbs 2 where that we should actually listen to wisdom. We should incline our ear to wisdom and apply our heart to understanding. We should cry out for discernment and lift up our voice for understanding. And what we see here is that discretion will preserve you. And what is discretion preserving? Well, Solomon was training his son to not go with those who would commit sin, would be violent and use violence to gain monetary wealth. And certainly there are people in gangs and there are other people that use their power and their force to actually earn additional money. Most of that is illegal, and their sins will find them out. Very often they end up in jail. Solomon here is training his son, you know, use wisdom, use understanding, learn discernment and discretion so that you can avoid this. He also talks about protecting yourself from the immoral woman. And certainly as a man, if you are attracted to women, you should be watching and for the immoral woman and not and taking specific steps to keep yourself from falling into sin. If you're tempted with men, you need to be looking at it the other way. If you're a woman and you're tempted with men or maybe even with boys, just be aware of that and place guards and safeguards around yourself to prevent you from falling into that sin. Make sure that you're not alone with someone of the opposite sex, if you're attracted to people of the opposite sex. And there, again, every one of us is geared a little bit differently, and we sin in different ways. We're tempted to sin in different ways. There are people that are attracted to the same sex, and that is sin as well. And that's something that we need to repent of. If you're attracted to the same sex, you need to apply biblical principles. Make sure that you're guarding yourself, that you're protecting yourself, that you're not actually placing yourself in a situation where you may be tempted. So he talks here about how discretion would preserve them. Now we're going to get into some new topics here today, and we're going to look first of all and see that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is something that is clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And the people he was talking to, that was really bad news for them because they had been and they had committed those sins. And really what it's talking about here is not just a singular act. It's talking about a habitual act of committing these sins. So these aren't all sexual sins, but you do have listed here fornicators. That's sexual immorality in a broad sense. You have adulterers, those who are married, having physical intimacy with someone that they're not married to. Those who aren't married having physical intimacy with someone that is married. You also have homosexuals. This is sin. Sodomites. This is sin. And again, there are other sins that are listed here as well. The people that the Apostle Paul was writing to, many of those had habitually committed these sins in the past. And the Bible is clear that those who habitually commit these sins will go to hell. But it also doesn't end there. There is hope. There is mercy. God is a merciful God. He's a gracious God. He actually forgives, and he's willing and able to not only forgive, but also to set you free from your sins. And we see in verse 11, "And such were some of you." That's past tense. In other words, there are some people out there that say, you know what? If you're a homosexual, that's the way you were born. You can't change. You're going to be a homosexual all your life, and that's the way God created you, and there's nothing you can do about that. This verse proves that untrue. Homosexuality is a sin. We are created by God for one man and one woman to leave their father and mother and join to one another and cleave to one another and to allow God to do a work in their lives and to have a holy union of matrimony. And what God has joined together, let not man separate. Anything other than that is sin. Texting little girls is sin. Texting little boys with sexual texts is sin. Engaging in physical acts with people that you're not married to is sin. Two men married to one another or two women married to one another is sin. It's a violation of God's principles. And we see here, "And such were some of you." That's past tense. That means that God can actually set you free from your sin. And it says, "But you were washed by the blood of Jesus." The blood of Jesus can actually wash you and cleanse you of that sin and forgive you of that sin. But it doesn't stop there. It says, "But you were sanctified." That's being set apart for God's purpose and actually being redeemed so that you don't actually commit those sins anymore. "You were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." And so we need to actually follow the principles of the Word of God. Meditate on Scripture. Memorize Scripture. Abide in the Word of God. Hide God's Word in our heart that we might not sin against Him. We see from Scripture, from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, and we've alluded to this topic here, that marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. So it's honorable for a husband to love his wife and to go into her and to be intimate with her. It's honorable for a wife to love her husband and to join in intimacy with her husband. It is dishonorable for people who aren't married to one another to engage in physical intimacy. It is not honorable for someone who is married to engage with someone that he is not married to or she is not married to, or someone that is not married to engage with someone that is married to someone else. And we see here that God will actually judge those who are fornicators and adulterers. And again, if you are a fornicator, if you are an adulterer, if you are a homosexual or a sodomite, as we talked about in the last verse, the last passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, repent of your sin, turn from your wicked ways, and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have this calling and we have this hope. You don't have to go through the rest of your life saying, "Well, I'm a sinner and I can't do anything about it. I have fallen and I'm not able to resist this temptation. That's not biblical. What God calls us to do is to humble ourselves, to repent, to turn from our wicked ways, to seek His face, to allow Him to cleanse us from our sins, to wash us from our iniquity. God wants you to be set free from sin. He doesn't just want to forgive you of your sins. He wants to set you free from your sins. And that doesn't mean that you're never going to be tempted. In fact, as we have talked about, you need to watch yourself. You need to make sure that you're in the faith. You need to press in, make your calling and election sure. You need to make sure that you're abiding in God's word, that you're hiding His word in your heart, and that you're watching yourself and asking God to hold you and to keep you from sin. And when we do this, when we come to God, we repent of our sins, we turn to Him, we apply biblical principles to our lives, God is able to sanctify us. And through the blood of Jesus, we also are justified, which makes us judicially just as if we had never sinned. Not judicially here on this earth, but judicially in the court of heaven. God can set us free and really make us so that we know Him and that we are like Him. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, hasten the day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. When the earth rejoices for the Lord and the multitudes of the isles are glad. When the Lord has established justice in the earth and the coastlands wait for His law. When the fullness of the Gentiles comes and you call your people Israel back into your kingdom, Father. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
As children go back to school, let us remember that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Also, God calls every parent and grandparent to take an active role in training their children and grandchildren, not just in reading, writing, and arithmetic, but also in the fear of the Lord. This year, help your kids with their studies and encourage them to live boldly for God.
I'm Minister Ezekiel Jones of Lively Stones Ministry. Join us every Saturday at 7:30 a.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Got up, fathers. This is Seamus Gordon from the Father-Child Connection. We are excited about a new program starting on August 1st, 2025, called the Dad Up Radio Show. We will be talking to and with fathers and father figures about life and being a dad. 8:30 a.m. and p.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Have you read the book of Zephaniah recently? What about Ecclesiastes or Titus? Well, if these books are a little unfamiliar to you, maybe it's because you've never read or studied the entire Bible. Not many Christians have. But you can go through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee and do it every 5 years. We invite you to join with us in an entertaining and profitable time of studying God's Word right here on this station every weekday.
Join Dr. McGee at 9 a.m. and p.m. right here on the Good News Station WCNO.